Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Pediapod for November 2021. This month, how caffeine affects renal tissue oxygenation in preterm neonates. Acute kidney injury is common in preterm neonates and is associated with increased morbidity and mortality. Caffeine administration has been associated with reduced rates of acute kidney injury in preterm neonates, but the effect of caffeine on renal oxygenation is unknown. In this episode, we meet this month's highlighted early career investigator, Dr. Matthew Hara, from the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He's been investigating the potential use of near-infrared spectroscopy, a non-invasive means of continuously measuring tissue oxygenation, to assess the effects of caffeine on renal oxygenation, in the hope that caffeine might one day be used to prevent and even treat acute kidney injury. Here's Matthew.
I was born and raised in Wisconsin and did most of my training here at the University of Wisconsin in Madison all the way through my pediatric residency, and then finally escaped Wisconsin and went to Virginia and the University of Virginia to do my NICU fellowship training. And that's really where I became interested in studying and researching neonatal kidney issues. And I had a great mentor there at the University of Virginia, Dr. Charlton, who really taught me about how important acute kidney injury is in neonates, and particularly in preterm babies. So after I finished fellowship, I came back here to the University of Wisconsin, and within the first couple of years, I started studying this non-invasive continuous monitor called near-infrared spectroscopy, which can detect oxygen levels in tissues, and ultimately trying to figure out using this NIRS monitor to see if we can monitor oxygen levels in the kidney as a early way to detect acute kidney injury.
And preterm neonates, I read in your paper, are at a risk of decreased renal perfusion. What do we mean by that?
Every baby, when they're born, whether it's preterm or term, really in the first few days, the blood flow to the kidney is slowly increasing, and it actually increases significantly over the first few weeks of life. Preterm babies, that process is slower. So they initially get a very small amount of blood flow from the heart to the kidneys. And then preterm babies also have patent ductus arteriosus, where they can actually get blood steal away from the kidneys. And so that low amount of cardiac output to the kidneys actually gets even smaller when you have a hemodynamically significant PDA.
Right. Is low renal tissue oxygenation then a feature of AKI?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's something that we're currently trying to prove. So those markers of acute kidney injury, the increase in serum creatinine and the decrease in urine output, typically don't happen or develop until either 24 to 48 hours after the injury has already happened. So they're very delayed. The nice thing about NIRS monitoring and looking at oxygen levels is that it's occurring in real time. So currently, myself and a few other groups are looking at whether oxygen levels decrease a day or two before those changes in serum creatinine and urine output. And now we have a couple of published papers that show babies who have low renal tissue oxygenation, typically below 50, have a higher risk of developing acute kidney injury during the first week of life.
the paper we're here to talk about today is another sort of arm of that work, isn't it? About the role of caffeine, which is quite commonly administered in the NICU, isn't it?
Yep, exactly. So caffeine is used first and foremost for apnea of prematurity in the NICU, so to keep babies breathing. But there's been several studies, and particularly by Dr. Barbara Schmidt's group, that have shown that caffeine really has a lot of significant benefits, even outside of the breathing system or respiratory system, both as far as related to the brain and long-term neurodevelopment. And I was fortunate a few years back to look at how caffeine might impact the kidneys in the NICU. And what we found is that babies who were exposed to caffeine had significantly less acute kidney injury than babies who were not exposed to caffeine early in life.
Right. So there are previous studies that have correlated caffeine administration with clinical outcomes like AKI. And people have been thinking about renal tissue oxygenation as a factor, perhaps in AKI. And so you're kind of linking those with NERS monitoring in this paper. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. My hope is that ultimately in the future, we'll be able to diagnose acute kidney injury, NERS monitoring of renal tissue oxygenation by itself, and that because we may then be detecting acute kidney injury as it's actually happening, then we might be able to develop therapeutics or use things that have shown previous promise for preventing kidney injury in that moment, and ultimately then save some kidney tissue for these premature babies.
And this was a retrospective study, wasn't it? Could you tell us what the original study was and how that ended up giving rise to useful data for this question?
Our original study was just a pilot study of doing both renal and cerebral NERS monitoring in preterm neonates born less than 32 weeks. And over the course of 12 to 18 months, we enrolled 35 babies. Ultimately, we found that 3 of the 35 had acute kidney injury in the first 7 days that we were doing the NERS monitoring. So we developed this robust database on those 35 babies that had the continuous renal and cerebral monitoring. And ultimately, one of the factors that we really wanted to collect and look at then was caffeine dosing.
So moving on to your results of this study, what happened to the level of renal oxygenation in relation to the caffeine being administered?
So what we found is that the babies who had renal tissue oxygenation less than 40% had the highest increases in renal oxygenation after they got their caffeine. And really the time frame that we saw those increases was primarily between 1 and 3 hours after the dose of caffeine.
And do you, I know this is perhaps beyond the scope of this study, but do you have any idea of the mechanism behind, you know, how caffeine has this effect on renal oxygenation?
The way that caffeine works is on adenosine receptors, which there are several of them in the kidney. So we know that babies who have acute kidney injury likely have high circulating levels of adenosine that result then in decreased oxygenation in the kidney. So we think that babies who have renal oxygen values below 40 likely have high circulating adenosine levels. And then when you give a dose of caffeine, the caffeine actually will block those adenosine receptors. So that's why we think after caffeine, when those receptors are blocked, you actually see an increase in the renal oxygenation.
And does that also explain why you didn't see this effect in neonates that had a normal baseline?
Yeah, that's what we believed, because we think the babies who had normal levels likely have low circulating levels of adenosine. So there really then aren't any receptors to block that are going to then change the kidney oxygenation.
And from this study, were you able to correlate those findings with acute kidney injury outcomes?
We were not in this paper because we looked at just individual doses of caffeine, not individual patients. So that's something in the future that we would like to do, is really when we have more babies in a sample that have had acute kidney injury, we'll actually have the power to look at that. But since we only had 3 babies that had acute kidney injury, we weren't able to specifically evaluate that.
But even if we aren't able to say that directly, do you think that this study supports the idea of caffeine being used as a protective therapeutic against AKI?
Yeah, I think so. What I would really like to do is study some higher doses. So frequently, babies in the NICU will receive a miniature load of caffeine if they have more pauses in their breathing. So a dose like 10 milligrams per kilogram. So I would like to, at some point, evaluate how the kidney oxygenation changes in response to higher doses of caffeine, because I think that might even result in more increases in oxygenation. I am hopeful, though, that in 5 to 10 years, we'll be utilizing caffeine as a therapy.
As we know, the pathophysiology of AKI is multifactorial, isn't it? Is there a limit to how much caffeine could do? Like, are there forms of AKI that you envisage this just wouldn't help with?
Yeah, I think that is a really important point, because I think some babies who have acute kidney injury, it's likely primarily related to either anemia or a hemodynamically significant PDA. So while caffeine may result in some transient increases in oxygenation, it's likely that the acute kidney injury is not going to be totally resolved until you address the underlying issue. So whether it's giving a blood transfusion or treating the hemodynamically significant PDA with either medication or surgery. So this might be one small piece in that complicated AKI picture.
And you said that you'd maybe want to do this again with larger doses. Is there anything else you'd like to ask if you had, you know, funding for further research?
I think really to establish the underlying mechanism, we would really need to collect caffeine levels to know and get a sense of if there's a certain threshold or level that's important to cause an increase in oxygenation. And then I think ultimately to prove our theory as it relates to adenosine, it would be great to also be able to evaluate adenosine levels in these babies to really show that the babies who have low baseline oxygenation have high adenosine levels, and the babies who have normal oxygenation actually have low baseline circulating adenosine levels.
That was Dr. Matthew Hara from the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. And that's it for this episode. Please join us again next month for the next edition of PediaPod. I'm Jeff Marsh. Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.